I would greet you again this morning in the name of Jesus Christ with the words of Paul, where he says in Colossians 1, verse 2, he says, "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." Good morning, everyone. It is a real blessing again to be in your midst. And I trust that today God will again speak to us through his word, through his servant, the Holy Spirit. And I would like to take this opportunity also to welcome all the regulars here. It's so good to always see you and to have fellowship, and just to see everybody greeting each other in the foyer is such a blessing. But I'd also like to welcome the visitors. I see we have some visitors here that I don't recognize and know who they are. But I know they said hello to Abe and Eva. So Abe, would you want to stand up and welcome them and introduce us to them? Peter Ferris from La Crete, Alberta. Peter and Eva Fair. Welcome here. So thank you. And there's others. I know there's Aaron Peters that came, and there's others that are visiting. We want to welcome you. And it's my prayer that we recognize today that we understand it is by God's grace and God's amazing love that we've been able to meet here and gather in his place to be encouraged, to be cheered on in this life, to continue till he comes again. Like we read in Scripture, "Let not your heart be troubled." Why did Jesus say that? Because the disciples were troubled. He had told them that he was leaving. Sometimes we get troubled when we know the things that are before us. But we don't have to be troubled when we know Jesus. It's because of who we know and where we're going. What a blessing. So today, my text is in Colossians chapter 3, verses 8 to 17. And in this scripture, Paul, he's exhorting the Corinthian, or the church, the Colossian church, the Christians, to live holy lives. And he uses the illustration of garments, of putting off and putting on. So before I read that scripture, I would like to read Isaiah 61 verse 10. It says, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation, and he hath covered me with the robe of his of righteousness." What a blessing. Scripture talks about us having on garments. And in this text, it talks about putting off and putting on. And so before we read the text, I would just like to lead us in a short word of prayer. So please pray with me. Heavenly Father, as we look into the scripture, I pray, Lord, that we will be able to apply it to our lives in a way that will speak truth, that you will speak truth to us, that we can apply it to our lives, and that we will be able to understand. Lord, give your servant a clear understanding, a clear voice. Lord, that the hearers will be able to hear, that with the ears and also with their heart. Lord, I pray that you will do a work here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Colossians chapter 3, verse 8 says, "But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on a new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all in all." And verse 12, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, even if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks. Thus far the reading of God's word. He tells his readers to put off sin and the old life, and put on holiness and the new life in Christ. And Paul explains four motives that ought to encourage us to walk in newness of life. I'd like to read Romans chapter 6, verse 4. It says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Walking in newness of life. And we need to put off, in this scripture, in this text, it says, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth, and lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Talking about believers. But then in verse here it says that we are to change our clothes. It's an illustration that we can understand, and I'm so glad for scriptures that there's God uses illustrations that we can identify with. Most of us are familiar with going to work. We have a job. Maybe some are too young, maybe some are too old, but we've been there. Maybe we can understand. I know in my job, we go to work. I know years ago when I would go to work, I would come home and I'd be totally filthy. And it felt so good to take those clothes off and put on clean ones. Could be cleaned up and put on clean clothes. You felt like a new man. And that's what Scripture is talking about. We're supposed to take those filthy clothes off and put on new ones. And he tells us what we're to put on. And you know, if we all did that, we would have an amazing, the world would see it. We know that fashion today is high on people's lives in their hearts. And when we wear the garments that God has instructed us to wear, the world would take notice. So in verse 12 it says, put on therefore as the elect of God, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. Put on therefore as the elect of God. He says, put on therefore these garments. And this refers to the fact that we have been chosen by God in Christ Jesus. Now grace is God's favor to undeserved sinners. And Paul reminds us, the Colossians, of what God's grace has done for them. I'm reminded of a scripture I believe that fits so well in this portion of scripture in Deuteronomy 7, verse 7 and 8. When we think of being chosen, God has chosen us, and he loves us. In Deuteronomy 7, verse 7 and 8, it says, the Lord did not set his love upon you, talking to the Israelites, nor chose you, because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, And because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out of his, brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. In verse 9 it says, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, he is a faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to do to a thousand generations. That is amazing, just like John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Moses here was reminded the Israelites of their heritage. The meaning of salvation by grace. This miracle of God's love does not depend on anything that we are or that we have done. If God saved sinners on the basis of or the merits of works or who we are, nobody would be saved. It is done through God's grace that it might bring glory to God. Verse 12, it says, holy and beloved, means sanctified or set apart. Or we could say, you saints. It is addressing the believers here. When an unbeliever sins, he is breaking the law of the Creator and the Judge. When Christian sins, he is a child of God, breaking the loving heart of his Father. Love is the strongest motive and power in the world. And as we grow in our love for God and for Jesus, we will grow in the desire to be obedient to him and walk in newness of life. The newness of life that we have in Christ. Now, Paul describes the Christian graces, we might say, which we are to put on as our garments. Bowels of mercy. That we are to put on bowels of mercies. Tender mercies. A heart of compassion. We are to be sensitive. It's really saying, don't be so cold. In Matthew 9, verse 36, I believe is the same when we think of bowels of mercies. In Matthew 9, verse 36, Jesus, he had gone and he had healed many people and preached the word. And then in verse 36, it says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted as they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. That same mercy. When Jesus was with the people, he had compassion on them. Like sheep, they were sheep having no shepherd. He knew they had a need, and he had a compassion on them. That's how we are to be. And yet, Scripture tells us, and we need to be warned, that as the time goes on, the love of many will wax cold. This portion here speaks of a heart of compassion. The deepest of your inner heart and mind, where you feel compassion for others. That's the garment that we're supposed to put on. Do we wear that garment? When you look at people, do you look at people like Jesus did? Or do we actually, maybe even as believers, sometimes think, oh, that crazy group of people? Or have we put on that garment of tender mercies. And then the next is the kindness. We are to put on kindness. And what is kindness? Kindness is an unselfish spirit doing for others what we ought to do. It's really kindness is having a sweet nature. Kindness would actually say in the heart, I want to help you. And in it is in an attitude of affection and goodwill. Do we have those garments? Have we put off all the other garments? You know what Scripture is really telling us? When we put off something, it has to be replaced. We must replace it with something else. And then the third one here is humbleness. Humbleness of mind. What does it mean? Means lowliness. The willingness to humble and to esteem others better than ourselves, and not to think of ourselves only. If we read Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, it says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem the other better than themselves. I think sometimes we think humbleness is thinking that we are nothing. Oh, that's, if somebody praises us or thanks us for doing something, I'm just a no good person, or sometimes we run ourselves down. But I think what humbleness of mind means is not just running yourself down or thinking nothing of yourself, but to think more of others and not so much of yourself. So the question is, when we read of these garments, why are we not checking ourselves more of what we're wearing? When we think of the fourth one here, it says meekness. No, meekness is not weakness. In Matthew 11, verse 28, Jesus himself speaking. Oops, go to Matthew, not Mark. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Meekness is not weakness, but rather meekness is strength to deny oneself and to walk in grace toward all men. That's meekness. To walk under the control of Jesus. Long-suffering speaks of patience when you are tempted or tried with something that goes on for a long time, maybe endurance in an offense for years. It combines joy and a kind attitude towards others along with perseverance in suffering. That's long suffering. Forbearing in verse 13. In living with others, it is inevitable that we will find out their failures. We are to forbear them. It takes God's grace for us to put up with others' ways. And it is so for them to put up with our ways. We must forbear with one another forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, we must forgive each other. I believe there's few problems or sins among the people of God which could not be solved quickly if we heeded these verses. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. You know, when it talks about forbearing, and when it talks about, when the scripture talks about putting on these garments, we must remember there's people that have matured in their faith. They have maybe more victory over some of those things than others. And that's why if we are to forbear one another, it's talking about one another. It's talking about believers. Not every believer will have on these garments that Scripture is talking about, and that's why we need forbearance. We need forgiveness. We need to forgive. Forgiveness needs to be exercised towards others when we have been offended. Often we hear, but he or she was the one who offended me. And that is exactly what Scripture is talking about, which we are called upon to forgive. Not holding on to it. There's no greater incentive or call to forgiveness than we find in these verses. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Colossians 2, verse 13 says, and you, being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of the flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Why is it so hard when we have it very clearly in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses or our debts as we forget our debtors, and we do not seem to want to forget others, forgive others? If we grow, if we put on these garments, and if we put off the old garments, we will see later, it's a progression. We will grow in the graces of God. We know that God's forgiveness is final and complete. He doesn't hang on to it. It's not conditional or partly. How can a holy God forgive us, guilty sinners? Because he has mercy and compassion, forbearance. And it is because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. And God has forgiven us for Christ's sake. In Ephesians 4, verse 32, it says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. You know what? I just want to encourage each one of us today. When you study that, you put on these garments, you wear them. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, being kind. If you will deal with the next person like that, we know love is the most powerful tool. And I believe that we will be able to deal with the differences between us. That's why we have these instructions. That's why God is so good that we have of his Spirit. And we must put off that old man that wants to stand up and take revenge and pay back. So now, because of these gracious blessings, Christians have some solemn responsibility before God. We must put on these graces just like I talked about. And then in verse 14, when we have them on, it says, and above all these things, put on charity. We are to do these others and we are to put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Love holds us together. Love holds families together. Love holds marriages together. Love holds the body of Christ together. Love holds us together. That Christian character, love, is the most important of the Christian virtues above all. It is like glue that binds us all those other virtues together. Everything that Paul has named here are part of true Christian love. It is revealed in the reading of 1 Corinthians 13. I believe we all know that portion of Scripture, but I think sometimes we need to hear it again. And I want to read a few select verses out of that. In 1 Corinthians 13, it says, though we speak in tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. We can speak in tongues and do mighty things. If we do not have charity, it's just a bunch of noise. Doesn't accomplish anything. And though I have the gift of prophecy, if we can prophesy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith that I should remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and so many people, we pride ourselves in feeding the poor and giving and helping, and that is good. But if it isn't done out of compassion and love, like Jesus when he looked on the crowd, do you give because you look on the crowd and you have the garment of kindness, compassion, and mercy? Jesus looked on them like they were sheep without a shepherd. And though I feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth it not. Charity vaunteth not or is not boastful. Is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. And so many people rejoice in all the sin and the iniquity that goes on in the world. Doesn't rejoice. Love rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Even there, we can check ourselves. Are we glad when we hear the truth? Are we blessed when somebody walking in truth and stays within truth and integrity? Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Charity never fails. In verse 13, it says, Now abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. And in this portion of Scripture, we are to put on all these graces of God, which ends up, above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. If we read verse 14 in our scripture, in our text, it says, "And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." The peace of God rule in your hearts. And how the world today needs the peace of God as individuals. Peace should act as a guide in our hearts. If in any doubt, we should ask ourselves the question, does it make peace in my heart? This is very helpful. When we are seeking guidance from the Lord, if it is of God, it will give you peace. You will have peace about it. Christ called us to enjoy his peace as individuals and as a church, to the which ye are called in one body, even the church. Let the peace rule. Power over your heart. When we obey the will of God, we have peace with God. And when we step out of his will, even maybe unintentionally, we lose that peace. You know, when there's peace in the heart, there will be praise on the lips. Verse 15, it says, "And be thankful." Psalmist David, when he confessed his sin in Psalms 32, it says in Psalms 32, "Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile or deceit. When I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long." And you know, that is when we don't confess our sin, when we choose to hold a grudge, when we choose to still wear those old garments. Here David says, "When I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer." That's what life will be like if we hang on to the old garments. And we don't just put new garments over the old ones. We put off the old and we put on the new. And David, he says in verse 5, "And I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sins." And I believe when we have forgiveness, that's when we have peace with God, then there's a praise, thanksgiving. It says in verse 15 of our text, "And let the peace of God rule, power over your heart, rule in your heart, to the which ye are called in one body, and be thankful." You know, there's the other side. There's Satan trying to tell you, you know, you can hang on to that, whatever is causing you not to have peace. If there's someone here that doesn't have peace, that you feel you need to confess, go and confess it. Because we are to let the peace of God rule in our hearts. And then when we do that, it says, "And be ye thankful." It will cause us to be thankful. The word will transform our lives if we permit it to dwell in us richly. Verse 16, "Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing grace in your hearts to the Lord." And that's why we meet on a Sunday morning. We should meet as families, individuals, Bible studies, different ways we can meet. "Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another and psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by him. Let God's word dwell in you, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns. We have a responsibility to our brothers and sisters in Christ. We owe it to the brethren to share our knowledge of the scripture with them, teaching and admonishing. So often, we hear that people want to live individual lives. They want to be by themselves. I just heard it yesterday. You know, I have some time and I'd like to help people, and I offer my help and nobody needs help. We owe it to our brethren to share God's word, our love, compassion. We are to admonish one another, encourage one another. In this world, we need desperately to admonish and to encourage with grace. You know, the songwriter, I believe, says it so well when he says, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." First Peter 1, verse 22, "That seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto the unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." Verse 17 of our text, "And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by him." Verse 17 is an all-inclusive rule by which to check our conduct as Christians. Even young people, difficult times, maybe difficult time deciding whether certain things are right or wrong. This is a verse that we should commit to memorizing. "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by him." We should memorize that. It can prove to be the key for unlocking many of these problems that we have. The test for us today, can I do this in the name of Jesus the Lord? Would this be glorifying to his name? Would Jesus bless this? And this should be applied to our words and our actions and our decisions. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you." That is something that we need to practice. "Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by him." By him, Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come into your presence this morning. We recognize today, we understand what it means to take off our dirty clothes, be renewed, and put on clean clothes. And when we put on our clothes, sometimes clothes make who we are. And according to Scripture, that is right. We are to put off the old man, the old garments, the sinful habits, the sinful nature. We are to put on the new. Lord, you have spoken to us today through the scripture that you have inspired by the Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, as we put on these graces that you have told us, these garments that we are to put on, we can understand in the physical how what a blessing that is, and what it means to those that are going to see us. Lord, I pray that we as a church, it's not just talking about individuals here, it's talking about the church. I pray, Lord, that when people see us as the individuals, when they will experience interaction with us, that there will be bowels of mercies and kindness and humbleness and humbleness of mind and meekness and long-suffering, that we will understand those and forbearing one another, forgiving one another, that the world will be able to see that individually, that the world will be able to see that from our church collectively, Lord. I pray that you will do a work here today. Lord, you can speak. I know that sometimes I feel like I cannot really explain what's in my heart and how deep the scripture goes. But Lord, I trust today that the word that has gone forth will accomplish in the hearts of people what you have sent it for, just like the rain and the snow. When it comes down from heaven, it accomplishes that which what it was sent for. And so I claim that today, that you will give the increase, Lord. We commit it into your care. We want to give you all the honor and glory for what you will do. And we thank you so much for being an example to us. Lord, that we can just look at Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, as an example. And how he lived and how he treated others. May we ponder his life when he looks and sees other people, when he sees people, when he sees the crowds, he recognizes a need. And he said, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers. I pray, Lord, that we will walk in newness of life, that we will seek those things which are above. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, we are to set our affections on the things above and not on the things of the earth, for we have died to our own life and risen to a life in Christ. Lord, I pray that you will just bless each one, Lord. We know that there's people going through spiritual struggles. There's people going through physical illnesses, hospital stays, and life has really taken a turn for them, maybe in certain areas. It could be financial, whatever it is. Lord, you go down the pews here today, and you know. And Lord, we thank you that you have provided, or that you have promised never to leave us or forsake us. May we claim those promises, that we can live a life victoriously with the garments on, that we can experience, even in the middle of a storm in our life, we will experience the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. We thank you for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Saying that God leads us along and he provides, and what a blessing. You know, we know that that songwriter, he had many different places where people are in their life, and I believe we still have that today. But today I want to encourage you that salvation is through Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. Nothing that we can earn, it's a gift. And like I started with a verse, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation, he hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. So as we recognize what God has done for us, today we've been instructed to put on the garments that we just learned about today. It's my prayer that we will put on the garment of forbearance for one another. and all those others. And that will cause us to be thankful and to have peace with God. I want to close with a benediction that we find in Peter. First of all, I want to thank you all for coming. It has been a blessing that you have come and that we have again been able to meet together in the house of the Lord and encourage one another. God leads us along that way. So let's bow for the benediction. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen you, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You may depart. May the peace of the Lord go with you.